What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Inevitable Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Herron. Alongside me is the best voice in podcast, Mickey Smith.
Morning, Nick. How are we doing?
I'm just going to keep introing. This is us building a brand, Mickey. We've got the best voice in podcast, Mickey Smith. I'm just going to mention it. So everybody, you know, that's going to be your title. People are going to come up to you and be like, aren't you that guy that has the best voice in podcast?
Hopefully.
We'll see. Today we got a great show. It's going to be our first double guest edition. We have Denton McNamee, the pitching coach at Lindenwood University, along with the recruiting coordinator, Adam Gore.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I think I've actually known both of these guys for a long time. Denton runs EBA. Our program uses EBA for our athletic and strength development. He also worked for the Houston Astros before coming back and working back in St. Louis, you know, going through, you know, overseeing EBA before eventually taking the Lindenwood job. Coach Core, I actually have known for quite a while, since I took my first college coaching job back in, was that 2015, 2016 at Harris Stowe State. Adam had just finished his playing career there, and him and I were both on the staff at Harris Stowe, despite there being multiple players that were older than us. So I feel like every coach who's started off young has probably had that experience of having, you know, someone older than them call them coach. But I got to know Adam and I would stay together on the out-of-town trips, you know, being the two younger guys on the staff. You know, he worked with catchers, I worked with hitters, and both of us obviously gone on to do a variety of different things since then. But Adam, he stuck out the college coaching route. He left Harris Stowe and was at Lincoln Memorial, Division II in Tennessee the next year. Then he was at SIU Carbondale for a couple of years, I believe. And then after that, he left Carbondale and he took a job at a JUCO in Florida. He was there for a little bit before eventually moving on to Tulane, where he was for several years. He worked at Tulane, and I believe he's in his third year as the recruiting coordinator at Lindenwood, right? Since they made the transition to Division I, that's what Adam has, he's been there since that transition. And so both of them are really insightful guys. Adam's like super organized. He's always been very good at preparing for things. Definitely a great mind in baseball. And then Denton's really smart. Denton loves to take a pretty analytical approach to things, whether that's with EBA or as a coach. It's not that it's just all data and what he does, but he wants to make sure that the human error component is eliminated as much as possible in what he does, and tries to see things for what they are when he's evaluating a player. He likes tangible results. Mm-hmm. That's why I think EBA has had a lot of success, is, you know, it's not just, hey, come in here, you know, we're going to make you better. It's, you know, they always had a plan with EBA. And so really looking forward to this one. Both of them are great dudes. And unless you got any thoughts, I think we should probably get them on the phone, right?
No, let's get it wrong.
All right, let's give them a call. Appreciate your patience, everybody. Everybody got some technical difficulties. If it happened in the Astros game yesterday, it can happen with the Inevitable
Podcast. Yeah, that was a really good broadcast they had going. It sounded like they were underwater.
What's going on, Denton?
What up? How we doing?
I'm doing great. Coach Core, how's it going?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm great. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy day to talk with us, talk some recruiting, talk some Lindenwood baseball. So,
no doubt. Looking forward to it, man.
Yeah. Well, I gave the listeners a little bit of a background on both of you guys. Obviously, you know, I've known each of you for you know, the better part of a decade now, and, you know, kind of know your background. And so, you know, I have several questions for both of you. You know, Adam, I think, you know, really we'll focus a lot on like the recruiting piece, because a lot of our audience, it's people who either play for us or maybe don't play for us. Actually, I've noticed we've started to get some traction there. Kids, yeah, kids outside the club, parents wanting to learn more. And Denton, you know, I know that, you know, it looks to me, from what I can see, just the outside looking in online, you guys are doing some pretty great stuff on the player development program. And so, you know, Denton, we'll start with you. Obviously, like, from what I've seen, it looks like you're taking a pretty analytical approach to player development at Lindenwood. I'm not surprised by that. As I was telling our audience, I know that with EBA, when you were doing that, you definitely like tangible results, right? You like looking at things from a perspective of eliminating guesswork. And so maybe you can tell me just a little bit about your plan for development, you know, utilizing, you know, the data piece of it, in simpleton terms for, you know, people listening at home, or even me and Mickey for that matter. So
and I guess, you know, analytical approach is, you know, you're either with it or against it type of mentality in today's old school, new school kind of mindset, right? But for me, you know, I use analytics as a way to just get that much more information, right? If you have access to something, why wouldn't you use it? So for us, you know, being able to utilize, you know, all the technology that we have, a lot of it I'm using on a workload management aspect, right? Like, your buzzword is like arm care these days. But you know, what really is arm care? Is that an exercise thing? Is that a weight rooms thing? But yeah, so utilizing pretty much information as I can get my hands on to make more educated decisions. So like workload, you know, we're using Driveline Pulse to help kind of manage volume and intensity, but also help us with our buildup, whether on summer or Christmas break, right? So if I'm able to give them a guideline on, hey, this is where we need you to be at, and this is how you're going to build up, like, it just adds on top of a throwing program, right? It's just making that kind of old school throwing program more new school in a sense. But also monitoring, you know, how our forearm and our elbow and our shoulder are recovering with Flex Pro Grip and a Vol Dynamo sensor. And then also like bullpens, right? Like, I want to be able to track, hey, your intended target and where you actually hit it. So we're just adding data to, you know, what is command. And then your typical Rapsodo, TrackMan, pitch design stuff. You know, it's just adding on top of, hey, try this grip, or hey, you're releasing it at this point on video. It's just giving more numbers to what we're looking at. So I think, you know, with analytics, there's a lot of people that are either, oh, I'm one side all analytical, or one side, you know, old school approach. I think it's just finding a happy medium with it all. Because if we're relying too much on a Rapsodo or TrackMan, and say like, hey, it's down for that day, we have to be able to use our eyes and be able to coach. So it's, at the end of the day, it is just utilizing what we have, and not, you know, turning a blind eye on something that could help a player.
Sure. Sure. That's very insightful. I guess the question that kind of came to my mind anyway, when you were describing all that, one thing we had written down is like, how do you guys make decisions on recruiting a high school arm? Like, obviously in today's game, you're going to look at metrics, but how much of it is metrics driven versus just pitch ability and in-game performance? And second question, which is, you know, follow up to kind of both of you guys, like, how do you guys, obviously, Corey, you're the recruiting coordinator, Denton, you're the pitching coach. How do you guys work together in deciding on what makes, you know, how you're going to, you know, whether or not you're going to go on a potential high school recruit, specifically a pitcher? Like, how do you guys work together on it? And what does that look like?
Yeah, so Core, I'll take that first question if you want to take the second one. So I think when you're recruiting a player, I think you have to, you know, take a step back and say, okay, where are we at? Not only as a program, but what level are we at, right? Like, a Division II is recruiting a little bit different than a mid-major. A mid-major is recruiting a little bit different than a Power Four. So for me, when I'm talking of my hierarchy of importance, like, that, there's a lot that goes into it, right? It's what resources we have available, you know, what players we're able to get out there and recruit. I think so. When I say this, I don't think it's, you know, one size fits all. But for me, my hierarchy is in, you know, top to bottom, is the things that I look for the most is command, pitch shapes, and then velocity, right? So if you just reverse engineer it, I think the easiest thing for us and that we found is gaining velocity, right? 2 to 3 miles an hour on average is something that, like, we can really shoot for when projecting, just based on, hey, this guy has never, you know, played baseball as much as he is now, right? He might have been a 2-3 sport athlete. Like, this is kind of your job now. You're throwing more than you ever have. You're having kind of that first access to a real weight program. Your nutrition's taking the next step. So gaining velocity, you know, 2 to 3 miles an hour, that's kind of one of the easier things for us to do. So that's why it's third, right? Which might be different for a lot of other programs, especially nowadays it's velo, velo, velo. And then pitch shapes, the next thing is, you know, we can make adjustments on pitch shapes, right? So there's some things that are hard. Hey, 3,000 spin rate curveball, like, you're not able to just coach that into someone. I think we've seen with our Flex Pro, we're able to improve, but you're not going to take someone with a 2,200 curveball and make them 3,000. So there's some more outliers in that. But for the most part, we're able to teach a kid, hey, this is how you throw a sweeper, or this is how your bias, you know, supinator, pronator, is going to work for our pitch arsenal. So there's some things we can do. And then command, like, command is one of the hardest things to teach, right? Like, you're not going to teach somebody that has, you know, 30% strike zone to be 70%. Like, a lot of that's between the ears. A lot of that is very hard to coach. And if you figure out a bulletproof way to turn a guy that throws 30% strikes to 70% strikes, you're probably going to make $1 billion. So that's kind of when I'm looking at it as far as a hierarchy of recruiting. Like, I really focus on command and then move to their pitch shapes and then move to velocity, if that makes sense.
Sure. No, I think that makes a ton of sense. So, Coach Core, maybe you can tell me how you work with Denton just on the recruiting side, specifically for high school players, when you guys are both looking at, like how much does his opinion weigh into it? How much do you guys use the analytic piece? And, like, how does that work, you know, balancing recruiting and then also, you know, the pitching side of it, right? Because I feel like the two kind of work differently, recruiting arms and recruiting position players.
Yeah, I think they certainly do work differently. You asked Denton's input and how it weighs into pitching. Well, everything, right? It means everything. We are an all hands on deck staff when it comes to recruiting. So it's not every time that we're not on the same page about a guy that we're recruiting. For me, in my opinion, when it comes to the evaluation of a kid, multiple looks, right? We're trying to get multiple looks on a guy, certainly a high school guy, and we want to see them pitching it in the spring, in the summer, if we can. And the multiple looks gives us a chance to see them at their best, and either at their worst or maybe not at their best, hopefully, because I think there's a lot of evaluation that goes beyond just what we're seeing on the mound, right? And we see that with multiple looks. Now, working together, the analytical piece, it weighs different on the pitchers than it does the position players, absolutely. So metrically, we may be looking for different outliers, right? Is there an outlier pitch? Is there an outlier shape? Maybe something that Denton can work with, right, down the road. Kind of like you were talking about, you can't teach 3,000 spin on the slider. And who and what kinds of pitchers we're recruiting, I think Denton prefaced it a little bit earlier, talking about what's the state of your program. And in regards to this, it's what's the state of your pitching staff. So we're looking for guys that can throw strikes with multiple pitches, right? That's really important. We have a lot of that right now. So in this last recruiting class, we were able to kind of go outside of that a little bit, get a little more stuff where guys need to get maybe just a little bit more in the zone, but the ceiling is 95 plus on the fastball and big breaking balls, and all these guys are exceptional athletes. So I think it does vary year to year, the stock righty who can throw three pitches and pitch whenever for you on a weekend. His value may be different year to year based on what your current staff looks like. And like I said, we've kind of made our money and leading the league in pitching last year, which is, for the most part, a lot of really average three-pitch strike throwers. Right now, there's a little bit of velocity, but our guys throw a ton of strikes at all times. So, again, it looks different each year based on what you got versus what you're recruiting, in my opinion.
Sure, sure. I think that makes sense. I mean, maybe you could tell us a little bit about, you know, how you make decisions in recruiting specifically as it pertains to, like, do you do a lot of recruiting locally when it comes to high school players? How do you decide when to go young versus old at any given position? Maybe you could give me a little bit of insight as to, you know, what that looks like.
That's a great question, because to each their own on this, right? You've got some that are all in on portal and all in on junior college or high school. We're kind of in the middle. Like, we really love high school pitching. We do love our high school position players too, but we have a specific model for that. But with the pitching, we're going to tend to go young. We're going to tend to go young and have the extra time to spend with them in their development, you know, on the mound, in the weight room, and then fill in maybe immediate needs with junior college, right? But predominantly, we're pretty high school heavy on the mound. For us, that starts in the backyard. That starts in the backyard because we're in such a talent-rich area. You know this better than most, right? How much talent we have just in the St. Louis, the metro area right there, and even for us, even in St. Charles, right down the street, with Francis Howell's right down the road.
Sure.
They got guys on that team now that'll probably pitch in the big leagues. So we certainly start in our backyard, not only because of the level of talent, but the relationships we have with their coaches. Our evaluations, in my opinion, are always going to be stronger in the backyard because of the amount of resources we have in terms of, again, knowing the coaches, knowing the club coach. We can go see them multiple times. That's really important. It's not to say we don't go outside of our local window. We certainly do, but that's where we start for high school guys. We want to have a good footprint in our backyard and draw about a 4-hour, 5-hour, maybe even 6 radius from here. And we do well in Canada for the high school guys as well. I'd say that's where we've had success and like to go. But, yeah, start here, spread about a 4 to 5 hour radius, and then go from there for the high school guys.
Yeah, no, and for all the high school guys listening right now, I think one of the questions that, if I was one of them at least, I would have is, how do I give myself a chance to be recruited by Lindenwood, right? I'm sure there's camps. You know, maybe you can tell me, like, what events you guys during the summer, when, like, what events do you guys typically attend for recruiting, right? And if I'm a kid that wants to go to Lindenwood and I'm listening to this, what can I do to give myself the best shot to get in front of you and your staff as many times as possible?
Yeah, I think camps is always the best way. There's multiple players on our roster now that we saw at camp. And we put all that out on social media. We've got our next one coming up here in a little less than 3 weeks on our campus. Those are always great. For the recruiting piece and what events we go to, like I said, we keep it local, right? Or we try to. And so we're not going to hop on a plane and be in Hoover or Atlanta. It just doesn't make sense for us to go that far and spend that money when we can do all of that at Grand Park. We can do all of that at Creekside and home field and right here in St. Louis, particularly at our own field. there are, it seems like, 1,000 games played at Lindenwood every fall and summer. So we stay home. We work really hard in Kansas City. We work really hard in Indianapolis. And the way teams are traveling nowadays, like, that provides us with so much regional coverage, as well as, like I said, we work really hard in Canada, British Columbia, Ontario, and we have the opportunity to see a lot of those teams at those places as well. So that gives us the whole Midwest, gets you into Tennessee, Kentucky, Iowa, Wisconsin. I mean, the reach is so good just between KC and Indy.
Yeah, yeah, no, it really is. And, you know, I know you and I had a conversation about that where you're over the summer with my 17s, you're like, man, when are you guys going to play in St. Louis again, right? And honestly, it's really made us reconsider our scheduling a little bit. Not that we won't still take, you know, our top teams to Atlanta or Hoover, but, you know, with Indy and KC being such good outlets right now for good baseball in the Midwest, I think that we're going to shift our schedule a little bit more that direction. So we're looking forward to being able to get in front of you guys more often during the summer. You know, and Denton, I had one question to you. It's kind of on the recruiting side, but it's really just based off of a conversation that we had previously about a player. One of the things that I'm aiming to do with this show is try to, like, give insight to people on certain topics that may be difficult to understand, right? And one specific conversation that we had was about a player. Who it was, we'll just, you know, keep anonymous, right? But, you know, we talked about him a little bit. You'd seen him throw a couple times. And it wasn't that, you know, you said he had really good stuff, but I remember you know, one of the points that you made that I even told you, honestly, I kind of agree with that, is like, there were no outlier qualities, right? You know, he, this was a kid who, you know, did throw 90 plus, you know, has some talent and will ultimately be a kid who pitches at the Division I level. But I think that people, my listeners, you know, the players I deal with, the families, they really kind of struggle to see, you know, to understand why they're not being recruited by a kid who they look at and I'm like, and they're like, I'm better than that kid right now, right? And I think that the answer to that is outlier qualities, right? Like projection. Yeah. It's kind of a buzzword, but maybe you could tell me, and Adam, you as well, like, could both tell me a little bit about, like, what some of those outlier qualities are. What are some things that a pitcher or a position player are evaluated for that they may not, you know, think of even as, you know, other than just like fastball velocity, right? Because I feel like whether it's body type or whether it's, you know, pitch shapes, right, that those are all things that I think that people listening at home would be kind of surprised to hear that's, you know, what a lot of decisions are based off of.
Yeah, and I guess this kind of goes back to my, you know, hierarchy question earlier, right? So I think I guess it's better if I put, like, a disclaimer, right? So, like, velocity, I don't want people to think, like, oh, like, command and velo, like, command's first, velo's last. Well, there's still, like, a barrier for entry, right? Like, if you're really, really good command and you throw three pitches for strikes, but you're, you know, 82-84 – there's, you know, there's still a barrier. Like, that's not good enough velocity, right? Now, like, if you throw the outlier topic on there, that's where you might, okay, now I'm kind of getting in the conversation, right? Like, if you're 82-84 with a really good pitch shape and you throw three pitches for strikes and maybe your relief angle is a lot lower than what a normal hitter sees, like, that's where you can get into the mix. That's where outliers come into play. But kind of to answer your question, like, about the player we're talking about, right? Like, if it's 90-92 with spotty command and maybe the pitch shape is more 15 vert, 11 horizontal, and it's a flat fastball that actually plays more like 88, that's where I have to start to look at it and say, okay, this player might be 86, but he has high carry on his fastball and he commands it a little bit better.
Yep.
And we know after a year or two of development, he's going to be 90-92 where that other player was. That's where we're starting to have a different conversation on players, and that's different for every program, right? Like, that's just how, you know, Coach Core, my viewpoint of it is. But also, you like, projectability, like you said, is a very, you know, buzzword, and for different people, it means different things. Like, I'm not out here saying, oh, every pitcher's got to be 6'3", 180 pounds, and there's a lot of projectability. I think it's different for everybody, right? I think there's, again, barriers with projectability, right? If there's a 6'5", 180-pound guy, but he's throwing 90-92 and there's 20% strikes, for some schools, you can take a risk on that. Some schools, you can't, right? Especially, like, if a roster's 34-man, it's just something that some schools don't have the capability of taking risks on. So that might be why you're wondering, oh, like, this guy throws a lot slower than me, but he's going to this school and I'm not. There's a lot of things that go into it. But I think to touch on outliers, I think when you're building a pitching staff, you want to make it hard on a hitter. You don't want every pitcher to look the same, have a high release point, throwing a similar fastball, because if you're playing a three-game series, by Sunday, those hitters are adapted and they're ready to go, and those Sunday guys are going to get lit up a little bit more than your Friday guys. We're trying to build a pitching staff that's different every at-bat. So, hey, we got a starter that's five innings for two at-bats, and then you see something different in the sixth. You see something different in the eighth. And it makes it really hard on a hitter. So that's what we're looking for. So if you're trying to get recruited, if you're average, you're not going to stand out. You have to have something that makes you different. So if you're over the top and you're 82, hey, maybe lower the arm angle and try something different to get different movement and be different. Because that's what every college is looking for, is something that's going to be different, something that's an outlier.
Yeah, that's a great answer. That's exactly what I wanted our audience to hear. You know, Coach Core, do you have any thoughts as far as like what position player outlier traits there may be, right? Like, and it can even be non-baseball related, but is there any kind of like outside the box thoughts you have as far as like, oh, wow, if I'm a high school kid, you know, if I'm a high school shortstop and I hear that I'm being evaluated for this, I might be surprised by that. Any thoughts on what some of those different traits may be that you guys evaluate players on?
Man, I don't know that it's outside the box. And at times it can be less measured than what we're talking about with these kids on the mound.
Yeah.
For us positionally with our high school players, we intentionally are looking at similar types of guys, right? If you look at the makeup of our high school recruits, not every single one of them, right? Because that's not how this works. But for the most part, they are really, really tremendous athletes that play very primary important positions. So shortstops and center fielders. And then there's catchers and obviously the pitching, right? Not to say that that's all of them, but the bulk of it in our model and our belief is that we are going to build this diamond in the middle with high school guys that we can have in our system for 4 years and surround that as needed with whatever fill-in we may need from junior college. So we place a high premium on the athlete first and foremost. Outside the box, I see so much of this today. It's the cool guy syndrome. And I'm going to sound like the angry old man. And I'm not, I promise. But I have a hard time with kids that can't play hard. And I'm not the only one, and we all do. I can't get behind someone that's more... It's more important how they look than how they play, right? Like, style over substance is what I call that. Mm-hmm. And if you're a style over substance guy, you're not for me. Yeah. You're not for us. This program, like, it just doesn't work here. We value the person so much. It's not to say those kids that like to do those things are bad kids, because I know that there's a million of them that are great kids. but they're just not the types of individuals that we want in our program. So we value the motor in addition to the athlete, and the ability to hit. Like, I feel like it gets overlooked, and we get caught up in certain things, but the ability to hit and command the strike zone is so, so important. And I feel like our guys do that really well, and it's getting better with our guys that we're bringing in. We try to play to the park, right? You've been here. Everybody in the area knows the Lou Brock is a graveyard, and the wind in the spring, it's blowing right in our face. So for us to go and seek out big slugger, all or nothing, lots of homers and strikeouts, it's just not really conducive to the way we play offense. And I feel that those guys don't maximize their value as players here. So that strong bat to ball, guys that walk more than they strike out, that are all really good athletes with a good motor in those positions, man, like, we're just trying to be really good at those few things and evaluating. If we can get guys that do all of that really well, they fit into our system, and ultimately we feel like we're able to coach those players the best and get the most out of them while they're here.
Yeah.
And Nick, real quick to go on that, like, you know, being out mostly to, you know, recruit pitchers in my, you know, 4 or 5 years as a pitching coach, being around Coach Core, like, that's something that I've started to pick up on with hitters especially, is playing hard costs you nothing, right? Ground ball to shortstop, I don't think a lot of those hitters realize that if they, you know, run a 5 down the line, they're getting crossed off. And I think a lot of times that's a cliche, and it's kind of gotten lost in the whole analytical side of baseball, is like, we're watching everything, right? If you're taking ground balls in between innings and you're booting the ball, trying to look like a cool guy, make an air throw, like, those reps matter. You know, getting on and off the field, that stuff matters. So I think that's just a really point that Coach Core made that kind of goes unnoticed. Or, you know, players now just think like, oh, yeah, like you say that, but does it really matter? And I'd argue that it really does.
Yeah,
makeup's getting worse. It's makeup. It's just makeup, and the makeup, for whatever reason, is trending in a poor direction. And that's all it is. It's just makeup. We don't have a big roster. We got a 40-man roster. We got 37 guys in that clubhouse. We value the people that we spend time with. I see these players more than I see my wife. Right? It's important that we actually like spending time with them.
Yeah.
And you can tell a lot about a person just in those little situations that didn't just present it. So I'll get off my soapbox for now.
Well, I think that's a great point. Quite honestly, one of the best points that we've made on the show. And it's the reason why we're doing this show, is I want people to understand certain things, like the burnout piece of it, right? Like the playing hard, right? If you, to any players listening at home, I mean, I'll hear kids say at the end of July, oh, you know, I'm kind of burned out, or coach, I need to take a break. I don't want to play this fall. You know, I'm just kind of burned out, right? It's one thing if you're a pitcher and, like, you know, you've thrown a ton of innings already, but this whole idea of I'm burned out, you know, for summer ball, to me, what that means is you're not going to make it in college baseball, right? So I can totally understand why you guys, from your perspective, you see a kid going through the motions, late getting on the field, right? When he goes, you know, warms up like garbage, right? He doesn't play with enthusiasm, doesn't, you know, or especially in the fall, you'll see that where guys are just really kind of like dragging a little bit. It looks so bad. And to me, it screams, I do not love baseball, right? I am doing this because my parents want me to do it. I'm doing this because I kind of like it and I signed up for it. Whatever your reason is, it just makes sense to me that, you know, you guys would be wanting to recruit players who are going to come in and give it everything every day. Because at the end of the day, no matter what player development systems you or any coaching staff out there has in place, it doesn't matter if the kids come in and, you know, aren't working hard at it every day, right? Even in a perfect system, effort is a, you know, it's a barrier to entry, right? So I think it makes sense for you guys to be looking at it, and it's a great point. The last question that I got for you guys, what makes Lindenwood a great place to play? If I'm listening to this And, you know, I'm from Springfield, Missouri, right? I'm from Southeast Missouri, St. Louis, right? Just somewhere within, you know, the vicinity of 5 hours. Why should I want to go to Lindenwood, and why is it a great place to develop as a player?
It's a great question, right? It's the million-dollar question. In my opinion, and you can even spread that window out if you'd like, right?
Yeah.
We're unique. We're certainly unique within our own conference. We're the only private school. We're in a major city. We're 10 minutes from the airport. What we provide here is a really great balance of high-level academics and baseball. You're going to earn a great degree from a great institution and get to play a high level in the OVC while you're doing it. That's really important. You need to have a return on your investment. Your family needs a return on your investment. And that goes far beyond baseball. And I think what Lindenwood presents, and excuse me, a big reason why this place is so appealing to come here and to work with Coach Finnegan is we felt like everything was in place. We have outstanding athletic facilities across the campus. We have a gorgeous campus. We're in such a great location in St. Charles. We had the sense that everything was here. We just needed to go get our guys, go get the players. And this thing has the potential to be a contender and a winner for a long time. And so that's what we've been working towards. But to me, it's the competitive balance between baseball, academics, and personal life. And this place, this school, these people, they check those boxes. And I think that's why you see a roster of, you got 37 guys and 14 of them are in the metro area, right? 14 from the metro area. And then you spread that window out further. We've got guys from Canada on the roster presently in the incoming class. We have a senior from Warsaw, Poland. We've got guys from California, Florida, Arizona, and everywhere in between. So I think without all of those things, the school, the baseball, the location, you're not able to accomplish that. And I think our roster represents what Lindenwood is providing with that.
Yeah, and just to touch on all that, obviously that's a lot of my answer right there, so I'm going to try and go in a different way here, but we're recruiting players that want to play baseball as long as possible, right? Like, you're coming here to get your degree, get your academics, but at the same time, like, you're looking to pursue baseball as long as possible. And I think when kids, you know, pick a school, they forget about, you know, after the 3 to 4 years that you're there, right? Like, you're coming here to develop, get a really good degree, and hopefully you can play professional baseball after your 3 to 4 years are done. I think the thing that goes unnoticed is you're not just picking a school for those 3 to 4 years, you're picking a school for after that, right? I want to try and provide the best development tools for each player so that, hey, I'm, you know, I just got drafted in the 11th round to the Houston Astros. It's my, you know, off season. I want to come back to Lindenwood because I know I'm going to get the best development, the best coaching. They have the culture that I believe in. You know, I get along with all the players. It's a family. I want this to be a school that when you're done with your 3 to 4 years here, you keep coming back because it's the culture, it's the family, it's the facilities, it's the development that you're getting outside of your choice for 3 to 4 years. This is a lifetime commitment.
Love it. Love it. Those are both fantastic answers. Listen, you guys have already given me north of a half hour in the middle of your day, so we'll wrap it up there. I really appreciate you both taking the time, and, you know, on a personal note, really enjoyed this episode. So thank you for the insight as well as your time, guys.
Thanks, Nick. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I think this is really great for, you know, players in the St. Louis area and everywhere. To hear a lot of the answers like this from all your speakers.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we learn
appreciate
something.
What you're doing, buddy.
Absolutely, man. We learn something new every time, and you guys definitely gave our audience plenty of things to think about, as well as myself. So I appreciate it, and I'm sure we're going to be in touch soon, fellas.
Absolutely. Have a good one. See you guys.
Later. All right. So that was Denton McNamee, Adam Kaur. Adam is Lindenwood's recruiting coordinator. Denton is the pitching coach. Mickey Mantle-Smith, what'd you think?
I liked getting the perspective of the pitching coach and an assistant coach rather than the head coach. Obviously, the head coach has a lot on his plate. I think these guys are more dialed in on specific things. So hearing Denton talk about the pitching side, really interesting. Pitch design, I feel like, is something that doesn't really get brought up as much unless you watch, like, tread videos or used to watch the old driveline videos. Like, that's a very important thing for pitchers, especially, like, high school guys maybe not knowing why something isn't working, you know. Or like he said, it's an outlier. Like, oh, my curveball looks good, but a 3,000 RPM curveball is different than a 24 RPM curveball. Like, that's
sure.
That's a different beast right there. And, I mean, hearing from Coach Core, I mean, on the hit, you know, position player side, like, it is a cliche, but, like, bust it all the time, guys. It's not hard. I understand some days it's 105 degrees, but if you can give 100% effort one time, that might get you a talk with those guys.
If it is hard, too, then maybe you don't really love it. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't want to play hard when you're – because it's hot outside, because you're 35 games in, right? Maybe that's – your way, maybe that should be a wake-up call to, like, yeah, maybe I'm not a college baseball player, right? Maybe I should find something else I love enough that I want to do it every day. And so, I thought it was terrific. As I mentioned during the interview, some of the answers they gave are precisely why I wanted to create the Inevitable podcast. One thing that Denton talked about, which I thought was really interesting, the outlier qualities piece of what they're evaluating. Outlier qualities, what does that mean, right? Well, what I want from this show is to, sometimes people I think have a pretty narrow understanding of, like, oh, well, what do I have to do to get recruited, right? And they think, you know, I see the way, like, the guys are younger guys, especially like the 27s, 28s, even some of the 26s, like, it's all velo. Oh, if I hit this, then I should be ranked this, then I should be recruited by this. And yes, velocity matters. It absolutely matters. Anyone who says that it doesn't matter is either lying to you or wrong, and they don't know it, or both. But it absolutely matters. However, it is not the only quality that you're being evaluated, right? Every 90 mile an hour fastball is not created equal. Mm-hmm. If it's coming from a guy who's, you know, 5'10" and stocky versus a guy who's 6'3" and lean and long, those, not only are the metrics on the fastball going to be different, but they're going to look at one guy and think, yeah, this guy has a chance to throw harder though, right? Or even if his fastball is 86 and the other guy's 90, right? Because they think, oh, well, it has a chance to get this much better. Another player who I'm going to, I think, use right now to illustrate the point that I want to make, let's take Jack Moore, right? Recently committed to Long Island University. I coached him this summer. He's a really good pitcher. He spent the majority of the summer being like 84 to 87, mm-hmm. right? Those metrics alone, 84 to 87, 6'1", maybe 6'2", right-handed pitcher, that is not a Division I arm. But his fastball, it had, what was it, 23 and a half inches of vertical break multiple times this summer, which means it just stays up. And when you stand behind and, like, watch ABs, if I'm a hitter, what that means is that pitch, I see it come out of his hand, it looks like it's going to drop down like most fastballs do, drop down into the zone, and it just stays up, right? And so he gets a lot of swing and miss, a lot of chase up in the zone. His breaking ball is a hammer. Right. So we had guys that threw harder than Jack Moore that maybe didn't get the same opportunities in that class, just like we'll have that happen again in the 26 class and the 27 class and the 28, because it's not just velocity, it's pitchability. You know, obviously lefty versus righty matters, spin rate matters, but also just what your pitch shapes look like. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, a player specifically that they were considering recruiting at one time, and I remember him telling me, yeah, I just don't see any, like, outlier qualities. I'm not seeing anything in his body type that says he's going to throw way harder than he is now. I like his slider, but, like, the pitch shape is it's kind of stock. It's what you see all the time, right? There's no unique pitch shapes. Like, what is that outlier quality? So part of the reason, I think, to have the Inevitable podcast is to try to get people to understand those points, right? That there's so much more than just how hard you throw and does your breaking ball look gross on film, right? They're looking for you know, unique pitch shapes. They're looking for just what your frame says, right? They're looking for just, you know, how you kill spin on a changeup. There's just so many different factors that, you know, you either, you kind of need to understand how it all plays into what your ultimate evaluation is by the scouting / college baseball coach community. Yeah. So that's my rant. Ran over there, but
I was just saying, the one other thing I appreciate them saying is, I mean, we've been there. That place is a killer of baseballs.
Like, graveyard.
Nothing does not fly there. And I appreciate them being like, we don't want big donkeys. Like, we want guys that will just get on base and cause havoc and contact guys. And that's another thing. Like, if you are a big hitter in our program, you're probably not going to get looked at by them, or even
if you do really go there,
want to look at them. Yeah,
you got to take into consideration, right?
Yeah,
like, obviously we all know Mickey. Like, I mean, you see at the big league level, Aaron Judge would be a pretty mediocre player if he wasn't playing at Yankee Stadium.
Hang on. All right.
I'm sorry, and I don't actually believe that for the record, but I love to pull that card out every once in a while anytime I get a chance.
But field factors in college are, I mean, it's a real thing. And it's not, never take it personal if a coach isn't interested for that reason, because they know what they need.
They have to build an identity to their offense. And if your field is unique in the sense that it's either very hitter, very pitcher friendly, if it's strongly on one side of the spectrum or the other, yeah, you should definitely consider that when putting together a roster. It's also, and it's not just, you know, the fact that it's a huge field, right? But like, certain fields, a thing that took me a long time, I used to hear when I was coaching college baseball, when I first started, college coaches talk about certain fields and go, oh, the ball flies there. Oh, my God. The ball just flies there. And I was thinking, that's some old wives' tale crap. Like, that's just some conventional wisdom BS. I promise it's 100% true. Remember I told you at Mizzou? Before the first game this weekend, I was like, every game I've coached here, there's been a home run hit. First inning, home run hit. It's not a small field.
No.
It's just a launching pad, right? Lindenwood, I've seen more balls get out to Lindenwood than you'd think, especially like down the line and left, but I've never seen a ball clear the center field wall. It's definitely more of a pitcher's park, and I feel like the wind blows in, especially in the spring. And so, again, all those factors matter, and I appreciate the fact that not only – are they recruiting in a way that reflects that, but they're also transparent about that's the reality of their field, and it's going to benefit some players, it's not going to benefit others, and I think the way that they'll put together, assemble their roster will probably reflect that. But great episode. I have no further thoughts. Mickey, you got anything?
Nope, nothing.
Alrighty, well, we have a surprise guest tomorrow. I will be out, so Mickey's taking the reign. It's Inevitable with Mickey Smith tomorrow. And we got a great show for you tomorrow. We had a great show for you today. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I know I certainly did. And I will catch you guys soon. Have a good one.